الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, we bring another new episode for you of the program that goes by the name of Repentance. In this program, we try to develop a better understanding regarding repentance and how important it is for us to repent and what are the consequences of ignoring this very important aspect of our Iman. So the primary aim of our program is not to only understand the concept of repentance and what it entails of, but also for us to implement this very concept in our daily lives and for us to repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wholeheartedly without any hesitation or without any delays. Today, inshallah azawajal, we will talk about the method of repentance. What kind of approach should we adopt when we repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What kind of element of humbleness and humility should we have in our character, in ourselves, when we are repenting in the court of Allah Almighty? And we'll also cover the signs of the darkness of the heart. That what are those signs and what does it lead to? What are the consequences of having these signs apparent in our character, in our selves? But before that, as per our normal routine, let's first of all listen to a blessing of sending peace and salutations upon the noble prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. This is a beautiful hadith before me which states the blessing in the form of our names being presented in the court of the holy prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Just imagine that your names are given to someone who's very superior in rank and your name is given in a positive form to them. Imagine how good you would feel, how positive you will feel, what great positive energy you'll feel about it. Your name being presented to someone superior. I'm talking about in this world, someone who holds a rank and your name is being given to him in a positive manner. But now let's talk about our names being presented in the court of the best of the creations, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ stated that undoubtedly, your names along with your identity are presented to me. Therefore, recite excellent salat upon me, i.e. with most beautiful words. Recite excellent, send excellent form of salutations upon me. So, those fortunate people who do so, their names along with their identity are presented in the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And which other court would be more superior than the court of the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam? So the same example where we started our discussion of this hadith from, that whenever name is presented to someone of a higher rank in this dunya, how positive and how good we will feel. But just imagine over here, our name being presented in the court of the Holy Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam. There's no comparison when it comes to the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But this is just to make us understand that how fortunate are we? How fortunate would we be if our names along with our identity are presented in the court of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But the key element for that is to send salutations, peace and blessings upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in beautiful words. So, make this your routine to send durood upon the Prophet ﷺ in the most excellent form. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So, dear viewers of Madani Channel, today let's talk about the signs of the darkness of the heart first. It is stated that we should not be fearless of the hardness of the heart and we should keep contemplating our state. We should keep reflecting and pondering upon our state, our deeds, our sins, our pious deeds. We should keep carrying out the accountability of our affairs. And never be fearless from the hardness of the heart. Never think that the hardness of the heart cannot happen to us. We cannot become hard-hearted. Never have this concept in your mind. One noble elder, he has stated that the heart becomes dark due to sins. And the sign of the darkness of the heart is that you do not have any fear of sins. You do not get any opportunity to perform pious deeds, and words of advice do not have any effect on you. Beware, do not consider anything to be small, and do not consider yourselves to be among those who repent, despite being firm upon major sins. So beautiful pearls of wisdom are hidden in this very saying of this noble predecessor, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, that one of the signs of the hardness of the heart is that we don't fear committing the sin. And isn't this the state today? That when it comes to committing a sin, we commit it fearlessly. We don't fear it. And then he carries on to say that you do not find an opportunity of performing a pious deed. Now how difficult we find it nowadays for ourselves to recite the Quran, to offer the Tahajjud Salah, to perform voluntary acts of worship, to offer our Ishraq and Jasht, to keep voluntary fasts, or even some people, ma'azallah, find it very hard to even fulfill their fard acts of worship, such as 5 daily prayers, fasting in the month of Ramadan. And they bring up lame excuses of work, employment, etc. So this is also another sign of the hardness of the heart, that if we are finding it very difficult to perform pious deeds, then this is also amongst the signs of having a hard heart. And then the rahmatullahi ta'ala further states that the words of advice, they do not have any effect upon you. We know from the seerah of the pious elders rahimahumullah, that many a times when they would hear a piece of advice which would comprise of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many of them, they would pass away. Their soul would leave their bodies. This is how much of an impact those words of advice would have upon those noble elders. Many a times we've seen from the seerah of the noble elders that when a piece of advice is given, they would abandon the sin. People, they would abandon the sin straight away. But our state has become such that despite listening to the verses of the punishment of the hereafter, the verses of the displeasure and wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the consequences that one faces due to committing sins, still it doesn't have effect upon us. It doesn't have an impact upon us. So what does this lead to? This lead to us the understanding that we have fallen prey to the hardness of the heart, darkness of the heart. And he further states that do not consider anything to be small, and do not consider yourself to be among those who repent despite being indulged and firm upon major sins. Now this is another issue that we normally face, that when we are committing sins, we don't consider them to be severe. We think that they're very small and we end up committing them. This is another sign of having a hard heart, of having a darkness of the heart. And then many people, they also are under this deception that despite them being firm upon major sins, they still believe that, you know, we are amongst those who repent. They wouldn't be fulfilling the conditions of repentance, because had they been fulfilling the conditions of repentance, then they wouldn't be firm upon major sins anyways. So those people who, despite being firm upon major sins, are under this deception that they're amongst those who repent, they need to wake up from this element of daydreaming. They need to realize that they're not among those individuals who repent. On the contrary, they're amongst those who have fallen prey to hard-heartedness and who have fallen prey to the darkness of the heart. So these are those signs which actually make us understand that a person having these characteristics, these attributes, has hard heart. He has fallen prey to hard-heartedness and to the darkness of the heart. Now, when we spoke about considering a sin to be small, regarding this, what one concept that we need to keep in our minds is that we should not consider any sin to be insignificant at all. We shouldn't consider any sin to be small at all. Why? Because consistency makes something small into big. We need to keep this rule, this principle in our mind, that consistency in any small thing makes that small thing into a big thing. Now, whether that is a small voluntary act of piety or whether it is a small sin, what we need to make sure is that we understand that no such a thing where we can deem any action, any piety to be small, and on the other hand, there's no such sin that we can deem it to be something really small and insignificant. Consistency upon that small pious deed or that small sin, so-called small sin, will make the small pious deed or the small sin into a major pious deed or a major sin. So this concept needs to be understood by us, that this principle has been established, that it is the element of consistency that makes small things into big. Now, whether it is a small sin, so-called a small sin, or a so-called pious deed. So we need to determine our path ourselves and understand this concept very well and wake up from the sleep of heedlessness. And we need to reflect upon our state, lest we have also fallen prey to the darkness of the heart or hard-heartedness, and whether we also deem ourselves to be amongst those who repent despite we have fallen prey to being firm in major sins under the light of this definition that we've just covered. Sayyiduna Qahmas bin Hasan rahimahullah, he states that I ended up committing one sin upon which I've been crying since 40 years. Just look at the piety of our awliya karam rahimahumullah. He says that I ended up committing one sin upon which I've been crying since 40 years. And he was asked that, O Abu Abdullah, this was his kunya, his patronymic, that, O Abu Abdullah, what sin was it? So he responded that a Muslim brother came to meet me. I bought a fish and cooked for him. When he finished eating, I scraped off some soil from my neighbor's house and made my neighbor clean his hands from it. Now back in the days, this is one of the methods that were used to clean the hands through soil. So Sayyidina Qahmas rahmatullahi ta'ala is saying that just to have his guest's hands washed, he scraped off a bit of soil from his neighbor's house, and because of this he's been crying since 40 years. Just imagine the rank of his piety, and imagine the state of his repentance. That's what it would be. Once Sayyidina Utbah bin Ghulam rahmatullahi ta'ala started shivering whilst passing by a house and suffered perspiration. When people inquired, he replied that this is the place where I committed a sin in my childhood. Allahu Akbar. In his childhood, he committed a sin. And upon that, even once he's grown up, he's passing by the same place, he starts shivering. And remember, in the childhood, a person is not held to account for his sins. But this is the state of our noble elders, rahimahumullah. This is the legacy that they've left behind for us to follow. That this is how you should repent, and this is how you should have the element of hatred towards sins. That's something that he committed in the childhood. Even after growing up, he still fears that he committed the sin. It has been reported that A sin was once committed by Sayyidina Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala in his childhood. Again, childhood before becoming baligh is the time when a person is not accounted for his sin. A child is not accounted for his sin. So, Sayyidina Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, what would he do? Is that whenever he would have a new dress, then he would write that sin on the collar of that new dress. And often, he rahmatullahi ta'ala would cry so much on looking at it, on the inscription of on the collar, that I committed this sin in my childhood. Often he would cry so much that he would faint. Allahu Akbar. This is how our noble elders, rahimahumullah, they would fear and cry over their sins, repenting sincerely in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even upon those sins which were committed at the time when they were not held accountable for it, when those sins were not written in their book of deeds. Even then, after years and years, they've repented, they've become acclaimed and famous as the pious servant of Allah Almighty. Still, they're crying over their sin which was committed at the time when it wasn't deemed as a sin for them. And look at Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala, that he would write that sin on the collar of every new dress that he would get. This is the status of our noble awliya rahimahumullah. This is what we learn from their seerah. Now, let's move towards that. How should we repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What approach and what humbleness should we adopt in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we repent? Then it is stated that when we start repenting, then we should purify our hearts from sins and make it firm upon the fact that I will not commit sin again. I will not return back to sins. Now, repent sincerely so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds our heart to be sincere. Now, those whose rights we have violated, please them as well. We're talking about the rights of people, which we've covered in our previous episodes as well, that any those sins which we are repenting over, which involve other people, violating of other people's rights, then we need to please them as well and make up for those missed fara'id and wajibat to the best of our capability. Now, moving forward, the sins that are then left over, repent over them, shed tears over them, implore over them in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that He Almighty may forgive those sins. Now, we should perform ghusl. We should wear neat and clean clothes and offer 4 rak'at salah the way it is meant to be offered. The heart should be filled with grief. Voice should be loud, but the call of imploring should be low. And as much as possible, we should reproach ourselves whilst remembering every sin of ours. We should scold our nafs and say that, O nafs, are you not ashamed? Can you not repent? Do you have the power of bearing the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you want to displease Allah Almighty? Do you have the power of facing the wrath of Allah Almighty? In the midst of all this, keep shedding tears whilst doing so. Then, we should raise our hands in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the court of the most merciful Lord Almighty, in the court of the most forgiving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and humbly request that, O Allah Almighty, your slave that ran away from your court, he has returned back. Your disobedient slave has returned towards reconciliation. Your sinful bondsman seeks repentance from you. O Allah, forgive me with your grace and accept me through your mercy and cast the sight of mercy upon me. O Allah Almighty, forgive my past sins and save me from committing sins in future. Undoubtedly, you are the most merciful, the most gracious, the most forgiving. O Allah Almighty, keep me firm upon my repentance. enable me to repent wholeheartedly, sincerely, and duly the way you want us to repent. Have tears in your eyes whilst doing so. And as you're saying these phrases, as you're repenting in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, try to contemplate and reflect upon the words that you're uttering and mean them from the depth of your heart. Mean what you're saying. Understand it and repent in the court of Allah Almighty. Keep those sins that you've committed in you and just think and ponder over the fact that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes displeased with me upon these sins, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes me over these sins, then I'll be ruined, I'll be destroyed. I do not possess the power of bearing the punishment of Allah Almighty. Oh Allah Almighty, I'm very weak. I cannot even bear a millionth part of the punishment of yours. Ya Allah, I'm repenting in your court. I've returned towards repentance, Mawla. Ya Allah, I want to repent. Ya Allah, I've presented myself in your court. This weak slave of yours is present in your court, Mawla, trying to repent wholeheartedly the way you want me to repent, Mawla. And Ya Allah, keep me firm upon my repentance, upon my intentions. And Ya Allah, keep this weak bondsman of yours saved from sins in future. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, with these sentiments, repent in the court of Allah Almighty. Mean what you are saying. Be embarrassed over what you've done in the past and keep the consequences of sins before you. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not only forgive us, but He will also enable us to be firm in our repentance. But make a habit of doing this. Do this as a routine every now and then. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, with the mercy of Allah Almighty, you'll find yourself to be treading upon a path where you'll start becoming steadfast upon repentance. And we also have this positive hope from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that inshallah Azza wa Jal, Allah Almighty will forgive us as well. He's the most forgiving, He's the most merciful. He will also forgive us and keep us firm upon repentance as well. We pray to Allah Almighty that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us without accountability and make us firm, keep us firm upon repentance, and also enable us to abandon sins in present and also in future for once and all. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Forgive me, oh forgive me, have mercy on me, God.